everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca, and for this episode, we are talking to Nicole Soames about her new book, The Presenting Book, Practical Steps on How to Make a Great Impression. So Nicole Soames is a highly qualified coach and EQ practitioner. She is founder and CEO of Diadem Performance, a leading commercial skills training and coaching company that has helped thousands of people become commercial athletes in negotiation, selling, presenting, and management. Nicole is also the author of the best-selling The Coaching Book, The Influence Book, and The Negotiation Book, all in the Concise Advice series. But today we're here to talk about The Presenting Book, her newest title. It's a practical guide to help you master the art of presenting. So we often hear the phrase, you only get one chance to make a great first impression, when in fact, it's the impressions we make on a daily basis that are just as important when building a compelling personal brand. So this book takes you on a journey to becoming a highly skilled presenter in all areas of your life, whether you're presenting a sales report to a board, promoting your personal brand online, networking at an event, or delivering a keynote speech at a conference. So now we head over to talking to Nicole. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nicole. I mean, I want to start by first talking about first impressions more generally. I think it's quite important, especially at the moment. So there are so many reasons why people need it. So having job interviews or concentration on virtual presentations over anything else. And why do you think it's important to make a good impression? And what are your reasons for writing the presenting book?
Well, Francesca, I just think that everyone is being constantly bombarded with so much information digitally these days. And so your ability to cut through that noise and make a memorable impression has never been more important. And with that in mind, we're also constantly competing for people's time and attention. Yeah. And I really wanted to write a book that can help people present the best version of themselves to the world, whether that's actually in person, because we can still meet people in person, or virtually, whether it be the formal situation or the informal situation. And I just think by making a great impression each and every time you interact with people, not just in those very formal situations, you can communicate what you bring to the table and why you should stand out from the competition. And I think that is so key to helping people make sure that they're creating compelling personal brands that inspire trust and credibility.
Definitely. And I think it's really interesting when you say presenting, you know, you actually include the informal as well. So it doesn't need to be job related. Actually, every time we come face to face or virtually face to face with someone is an impression. And I think that was really interesting to see about the book, how it kind of covers both sides. But one thing I wanted to ask was it's the big question, really. How can someone ensure that they make a good first impression or presentation? And especially now at the moment, how do we tailor that for a sort of a digital normal life we have? In particular, you talk a lot about how EQ, and you've written books on it in the past, obviously. So how emotional intelligence and confidence play into this?
Well, I think EQ, as you well know, if you've read my books before, EQ, I think, sits at the heart of what good looks like, and it's a differentiator. And in the context of presenting, I think it's critical to making sure that you convince others and you're really compelling. I always reflect, and the quote from Maya Angelou, where she says, people won't remember what you said and they won't remember what you did, but they will remember how you feel. Always a front of mind for me when I'm thinking about impressions, creating impressions, helping people come across in the right way when they're presenting, trying to present the best version of themselves. So by recognizing and managing your emotions and also taking into consideration other people's emotions, it massively helps you communicate effectively with different audiences or stakeholders. So the real key emotional intelligence skills or building blocks that you have to take into consideration if you want to present the best version of yourself is actually self-awareness. You've got to get feedback on how you are coming across, which is actually relatively easy in the digital world that we operate in. And then whatever your feedback is, look, it's really easy to be average. So instead of being average, challenge yourself to be better. So that's self-awareness. And then confidence is really key. I think when people don't come across with confidence when they're presenting, it's incredibly distracting for the audience. So coming across with confidence, backing yourself and believing in yourself, I think is really important. And actually, the other one is empathy. Because if you want to make a great impression, you've really got to catapult yourself into the other person's shoes and to see things from their point of view so that you can make a connection with them on either a or on some sort of level, but hopefully on a deep level. And then the only other one that really springs to mind from an emotional intelligence point of view is optimism, having a growth mindset and believing that you can present the best version of yourself, and sort of adapting your style situationally, I think is really important. So growth mindset, optimism, believing in yourself, all of those good things.
Yeah, and I think it's so obvious. I can think of immediately two different presentations I've seen where it's been very obvious that the presenter has not felt comfortable with the situation or with the audience being there or with what they're saying, and it does very much like put you on edge, and that's all I did think about the whole time as the person in the audience. So yes, definitely.
And it's so fascinating, having done lots and lots of training with different groups from all over the world since we've been working in this remote setting. And for some people, the screen actually they find quite helpful because they can hide behind it and the real humans aren't in the room. And for other people, it catapults them into their panic zone because there is this screen and it feels very formal. It's really fascinating how this situation you're in can have an impact on how you feel, play with your head, and then have this disproportionate impact on how you come across.
Yes, I wonder if that has something to do with different personality types. So the book, the presenting book, set up in sort of different sections. I mean, there's so many, but the main ones that sort of showed out to me was sort of how you prepare for a presentation, the actual presentation itself, and then the review section, which I thought was quite interesting. What are the basic ways people should prepare for a presentation, and particularly regarding the audience and that kind of interaction?
Well, as a rule, really, the more formal the presentation, the more likely you are to prepare because you will feel more under pressure to perform. Okay. But it's when they are informal settings and situations that you're most likely to be caught off guard and you're most likely to wing it or, you know, rely on past experience. Mm-hmm. So in the book, I really do emphasize just how important it is to prepare proportionately for every single situation that you are trying to come across and create a great impression for yourself. So no matter what that situation, that's really what I'm trying to do, is say preparation is everything. And no matter what the situation, you should always start by clarifying the needs of the audience, whether they be your team, whether they be a customer, whether they be your boss, so that you can really make sure that you match them and you consider your own goals. And knowing which questions you're going to ask so you can unlock the conversation and think about things from their point of view, I think is massively important preparation that you do. Then you've got to actually think about the live conversation. So how are you going to actually capture their attention so that you get off to a really strong start? So often people don't really warm up until they're in their flow, but you've got to really prepare for those beginning few words that come out of your mouth, and that can really help you get yourself on the front foot. And there's lots of different ways you can do that, whether it's something topical, something humorous, something rhetorical question. You could quote some statistics, just something that is relevant to hook the audience in to grab their attention. And I think actually preparing that sort of stuff can then help people get their heads in the right place so they can deliver really well. And then I think it's really important to have a structure to what you're saying so that you don't end up falling into that trap of I'm going to tell them everything I know about this topic. And I think to come across well when you're presenting, less is more. So don't try and fall into that trap of I must educate my audience. Actually, it's a skill to be able to say less and be impactful and inspirational. And a great go-to resource is just watch the news. Newsreaders are brilliant at telling you what they're going to tell you. Then they tell you, and then they summarize at the end. So headlines, the main news story, and then the summary at the end, and just get that into your head as a way of preparing can help mitigate that I'm going to tell them everything I know. And then there's sort of lots of strategies that I cover in the book about how you can create spikes, I call them spikes of interest, to really sort of keep the audience with you on along the journey. Could be analogies, could be telling a story, could be painting a picture, to try and keep them with you all the way through. And I've got I cover lots of different options and examples in the book. So if you don't think about this stuff beforehand, you actually put yourself under a whole heap more pressure to think about these things live in the moment, and then that doesn't necessarily help you come across in the best way. So forewarned is forearmed.
Definitely. I mean, just something that just popped into my head as you were talking is when you see sort of singers or artists performing, they usually have those like riders or rituals that they do before they go on stage. And I guess it's kind of a similar thing to get yourself prepared and in the mindset. I mean, I want to kind of ask you, is there anything that you do personally that helps you just before you're about to do a presentation?
Well, there's different stages of preparation that I will go through depending on the formality. So the more formal the presentation, the more I will actually write a script for exactly what I'm going to say. And then I wouldn't necessarily use that script as a crutch, but I would know exactly how much I'm going to say and is it lasting for the right amount of time. So I will definitely do that sort of preparation. But also there's the on the day prep. So actually putting on your super suit, and this is stuff that I've been talking to people about when I've been helping them in the virtual setting. It's so easy to just be half dressed from top half upwards. And actually, I think if you want to get yourself in the zone and create the right impression, you should wear what you would wear if you were in person and be fully dressed for the occasion. So I actually think putting your super suit on every day is really important. And then there is the have a glass of water, take some deep yogic breaths, and physically warm up your mouth so that you're ready to go. All the sorts of things you would expect people to do in sport. You know, they don't just get onto the pitch cold. They have to warm their bodies up to make sure that they don't pull a muscle. So that's the sort of stuff that I do to get myself in the zone before a presentation.
Amazing. I mean, imagine sort of we've done all this perfect preparation, like we've talked about. I mean, obviously there's a lot more in the book. We don't have to give it all away. So no. We're on stage or behind the laptop screen, ready to do the presentation. When people are actually about to present and they're doing the presentation, what should we be bearing in mind?
So when you think about the way you communicate, the way we communicate is not just what we say or the slides, it's the words we use, it's how we come across and our tone of voice. And actually to think of your voice almost like an instrument, I think is really quite helpful for people. Okay. So when you focus on your actual words, it's important that you're using language that is appropriate for the situation. And you don't come across using what I would call weak speak and filler phrases like probably, hopefully, sort of, I was wondering what about things like this. And it can sort of undermine your how you come across, and it can undermine you as being a subject matter expert. So the what you say is really important, but also your diction, it's almost like you need to think about every single word you say. You've got to have purpose behind it, and it's got to have conviction and energy. So trying to think of how you come across and how you speak, think about your pace, think about precision and making sure you're articulate and your pitch. And there's often, people have got over the years, the wrong rule of thumb that they present using, like one slide per minute and things like that. There is actually an optimum pace that you should be presenting at. On average, something like a sports commentator, they might be speaking sometimes at a pace of a about 600 words per minute, or an auctioneer might be about 600 words per minute. We actually read about 300 to 400 words per minute. But when you're presenting and you're trying to land a message and trying to communicate and create a great impression, the optimum pace you should be presenting at, on average, is 127 words per minute.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it's so interesting because actually, do you even know what that feels like? So that is brilliant preparation for people to do to get themselves in the right place so that they're not too fast and they're not too slow. It's like, what is that optimum pace and how does it feel to be presenting at, on average, 127 words per minute? That's why I write a script, to know, have I got enough to say, not too much to say? Because going too fast means you might lose your audience. Going too slow means you might lose your audience. Whether you are in person or working virtually, your body language and how you come across, I think, is really important. Clearly, if you're working virtually, you can show less of your body and you really shouldn't move around too much because you can make the audience feel a bit seasick. But if you're in person, you should be feeling like you're commanding the stage and walking the stage appropriately. But if you're presenting virtually, you can still use your face to create, you know, smiling eyes and use body language and use gestures to bring energy to what you're saying as well. So, and I'm actually gesturing right now, even though you can't see me, because I think it brings energy to what you're saying, and that's how you can use all aspects of your body. So those things are what you should be doing behind the screen, and when you're in front of people in person, to really create that impression that you visualize in your mind.
Definitely. I'm going to start gesturing now as I speak to you, just to see if there's a change in my energy. No, I think one of the only pieces of advice I would ever hear, sort of like from friends and family, is, you know, just don't speak too quickly. But I don't think anyone really knew how slowly you needed to speak. It was just don't be too fast. So no, it's really interesting to get kind of the number on it, to have that while you're practicing as well.
And that is interesting. So the sort of mindset is that people speak too quickly, but actually some people slow right down or become really robotic. It depends. We go into different directions depending on personality type. So it might be that you're too slow, not too fast. So actually practicing what does 127 words per minute on average feel like is a really good exercise. And I show people in the book how to do that.
Yes, brilliant. So, okay, we've done the presentation, and the bit that really actually stood out for me from the book was the section on reviewing your performance. And I think it's so interesting because it's something it seems so obvious, but I'd never really even considered. So you may have the, you know, I should have said that or I shouldn't have said that, sort of that afterthought maybe that passes through you. But actually you go through a lot of detail about how to properly review your performances. And I think it's lovely the way you've called it performance as well, because I think it really is. But why is it so important for people to be reviewing their presentations? I mean, how can people do this in order to kind of set themselves up for like a successful next time?
So it's actually really hard to get quality feedback from your presentations. And especially given the way we're working at the moment, most people don't hear any feedback. They don't get any feedback about their presentations. And if you do get feedback, it is likely to be, oh, well done, that was a great presentation. So it might be quite vanilla or nothing. So I think what you have to do is take a good hard look at yourself and reflect on your own performance without then being your own worst critic. Be objective, not subjective, when you review your performance. And practicing is everything. So there's so much technology now around for us to practice. Is toe curling to put yourself through that pain of filming yourself, but actually it's so easy now. You can just sit in front of your screen and record yourself, play it back to yourself, and then critique yourself in a sensible, objective, what would my do differently be. And I think what you've got to remember is nobody knows exactly what you were going to say. They maybe have the slides, but they don't really count for all of the brilliant things that you bring to life when you present. So they don't ever know exactly what you were going to say. So if you were slightly off script, that's okay. try and encourage people not just to think about the what they said, but also how they came across and what they do differently would be. So the best thing you can do is to actually record yourself, almost like actors do. They do the dress rehearsal, they do the tech rehearsal, they do the sound rehearsal, you know, do all of those different types of rehearsing. And you could actually ask a colleague to rehearse, be prepared to be the audience for you, and then give you feedback. So there's lots of different strategies that you can use to help you improve your performance, but it's usually best to pick one or two things that you want to hone, and then hone those, and then think about other things that you can do to improve. But I tell you what, if you want to be a really good presenter in the formal and informal setting, you need to keep reflecting, keep planning really well, then do your presentations and always reflect afterwards what you'll do differently would be. But if you want to improve, you've got to do the hard work. It's so super easy to be average. It's not easy to be brilliant every time.
I love that phrase. I feel like that needs to be on a t-shirt or something. No, it's so true. I think especially with recording these podcasts, and now I'm editing them as well, I'm sort of listening back to my voice, and I've realized all the words that I say when I'm kind of falling back and trying to fill out some space. So it's been really interesting for me to kind of re-listen to everything I've been doing in terms of recording these, to work out what my fallbacks are, what things I could be doing better. So no, definitely agree with that.
But when you do, Francesca, just make sure that you're being nice to yourself.
Yes.
And not being overcritical, because otherwise you then would focus on, you're not focusing on the big picture, and it's quite hard to be objective with yourself, because true. You will zone in and critique the smallest things. Don't sweat the small stuff. If there is one or two ums, you're human. It's about what's the overall impression that I created? Was it what I intended? And reflect not just on the what, reflect on the how you came across and your delivery and the energy, because it's how people feel that it is the bit that they remember when you were presenting to them. It's not what you said or what you did. And that's where your attention should be. And the more you do it, the fitter you are for it, the better you will be. And in order for you to keep raising the bar, you've got to keep challenging yourself to do something more stretching next time, something more stretching next time, so that you can keep improving.
Definitely. I mean, lastly, for anyone that's interested in knowing more about you and your work, where can they find you?
So best place to connect with me is on LinkedIn, or you can visit NicoleSoamesBooks.com or follow me on Twitter. I'm on at Nicole S. Author is my handle. Mm-hmm. But lots and lots of people have been asking for training for themselves and their teams to make sure that they are presenting in an inspiring way now that we've been working in this virtual setting. So there's short masterclasses and longer sessions to really help people nail this stuff in the virtual setting, and also coaching around coming across in the right way in an interview, because a lot of people are having to go to job interviews right now. So everything in life is timing, and timing is everything, and the timing of this book is so relevant to help so many people with the challenging environment we've been thrown into through no fault of our own. So if you do need help, please do get in touch.
Yes, definitely. We'll include all your details as well in the show notes if anyone wants to have a look and get in touch. Just scroll down and you'll see her details there. Thank you so much, Nicole, for joining us today. That was a brilliant conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much again to Nicole for joining us, and thank you for everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing, where we'll be sharing information about new books, experts' opinions, and more podcasts with people such as Nicole Soames. Take care and see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.